Civil War steamships, whaling ships, and World War II aircraft all sitting on the ocean floor. This week, maritime archaeologist Hans van Tilburg sat down with us to share the stories of the sea. It's a sampling for what's in store in an event coming up on Thursday evening in Honolulu.
Unlike historic properties or archaeological sites on land, which everyone can see and are often kind of, you know, assessed and then become something else, get built on, things that are lost in the ocean oftentimes go right to the bottom and they're just sitting there. So when we find them and understand what we're looking at, they can open these windows onto stories that most folks have forgotten for a long time.
And there is a lot of activity that is underway. They're talking about some offshore wind farms, undersea cables, and a lot of that is going to disturb what's on the ocean floor.
It has the potential to. That's exactly right. So that's why, in fact, my agency got involved in assisting, you know, another agency in putting together the background snapshot, the understanding of what's out there now in terms of historic shipwrecks, aircraft that have been lost for years and years in Hawaii, just to understand from the cultural resource perspective, if there was, you know, a project in those areas, what types of things could be in that area exactly.
And so the idea is then we need to protect what's there, but we need to identify what's there.
Sure. Not everything's going to be historic properties per se, or, you know, rate the level of protection that other things might, but some things are old and significant. And so it would be worthy in those cases to discuss, you know, what could be done if a project could have potential impacts. Absolutely.
And you've done a lot of research in this area. You also wrote a book about a Civil War ship that's out there.
Yeah. In fact, that's one of the stories that I'll be talking about on Thursday, the USS Saginaw, and just the fact that there was a Civil War ship out in the middle of the Pacific here, trying to open up the channel at Midway Atoll before there was anything else there, really, just kind of a deserted atoll island back in 1870. It's a great story of shipwreck and survival and rescue voyage. It's one of the epics of the Pacific, I think.
What was the maybe one thing that struck you as you were doing your research about that ship?
Well, that particular case, you know, that was a small vessel, a sidewheel vessel, you know, Civil War era vessel, so not really built for long duty at sea, but there were 93 sailors on board. And this was from a day when the U.S. Navy was very multinational, actually. Not everyone wanted to go into the Navy, so there were 17 different languages being spoken on that small sidewheel vessel. And those guys were stranded at Kure Atoll near Midway for months. But the funny thing about that now, they probably didn't mention it back then, is they were all immediately on the enforced Atkins diet. They missed the bread. They missed the sugar terribly because there was nothing but, unfortunately, the monk seals and the albatross for them to survive. It was a difficult many months before they got off that island.
And is that in any particular area that, it's in the path of undersea cable or any of these other offshore developments that's being proposed at all?
Well, that's in an area in the Papahoenapua Marine National Monument. So that's, you know, fairly well protected. But the inventory that we worked on for Bureau of Ocean Energy Management addresses all of the wrecks around the main Hawaiian Islands down here. And many of those are close to areas that could be proposed as offshore wind development, which is exactly why BOEM, Bureau of Ocean Energy Management, was looking for this type of inventory information.
So how do you actually conduct the surveys and do these studies when you go out and document what's there?
Well, it kind of depends on how deep the site is and the nature of the environment. You know, if it's diveable and we have the capacity, we'll want people with eyes on, you know, looking closely at artifacts and features. But a lot of ocean is pretty deep. And so then we're talking about, you know, a remote operated vehicle, an ROV dropped from a ship to do video survey, or even the three-man research submersibles, the Hawaii Undersea Research Lab. And those folks have found a lot of wrecks in the deep ocean in the past. So those are a little more involved platforms for doing this type of research.
And are we still going to have Hurl to tap in the future? Because I know their funding was in question.
funding is difficult, and I certainly hope they're able to stay and remain active in the islands because despite the advances in, you know, ROV robot technology, which is remarkable, there are some things that manned submersibles can do, untethered submersibles can do, that tethered vehicles cannot.
And we had on our show Ira Flato, who's really into science, and he talks about, you know, you really have to follow the money. You know, what are the projects that are getting funded, and you know, what's the science that's being explored, and how does that look for maritime archaeology?
Well, you know, it's you know, you're talking to a liberal arts major, so following the money is sometimes an alien concept for me. But anyway, you know, we're part of a larger historic preservation field. And so that's always been just one component of marine resource conservation and preservation. And so hopefully what we've been able to achieve, and Office of National Marine Sanctuaries is one example where we have multiple archaeologists and preservationists across our system. Hopefully we can maintain our level of capacity and continue to do the kind of historical and archaeological work in lakes and under the oceans.
Right. I mean, because we hear about the accounts of the explorers, and a lot of these vessels, you know, perished out in the open sea. And then it's like, okay, when we do find them, what's still intact? What is there on board these ships that could tell us more about the story?
Mm-hmm. That's very environmentally related, too. I mean, lots of warm marine tropical waters, you know, the wood will be decimated by the shipworm, Tritonavalis, nivalis, but the diagnostic artifacts, the tools, the engines, the tripods, the anchors, cannons, you know, other stuff does fairly well, while the wood might be, you know, have been vanished. But then later vessels, turn of the century, iron hulls, steel hulls, you have a different signature, a different footprint under the ocean. So it really changes from site to site and from era to era on what you can find underwater. But it does take some careful assessment then to take that into consideration.
What about the technology that's available? Because, you know, we hear a lot about, oh, gosh, you know, we've got virtual reality when you get cameras down, you know, under the ocean that you can really document a lot and then bring some of those visuals back up for everybody to see and learn from.
Mm-hmm. That's an excellent question because that is changing very quickly. Remote sensing technology to discover these types of properties underwater. Recording technology to assess the sites, diving technology for people to go deeper and deeper with closed circuit rebreathers, mixed gas closed circuit. So there is more access and more discovery going on, but which also means that, you know, we don't have to look at these deep water sites and bring everything up that costs a lot to stabilize and conserve, and then where's the museum that's going to take it? We can do our work by just recording the site as it is in situ and share that with the public and learn a lot and not have to engage a whole another level of effort and funding.
I know in recent years when we've done stories about these research vessels that are out there, you know, they can actually in real time show us the images, whereas, you know, in the old days with Hurl, we used to wait until the scientists came back from their trip and then downloaded the video and then, you know, to be able to see what they saw. But now it's just instant. You can see it as they're doing it.
That's been really fun. That's been a change in the past few years. And, you know, it's changing the way that we do what we do and how we share it with the public. It's actually been fantastic. If we can do a live dive survey from discovery of something that goes from, you know, maybe it's a shipwreck, maybe it's just a big rock, and the ROV goes in and broadcasts that signal to the internet and folks are watching, they share in the discussion that we historians and archaeologists are conducting and share in the actual moments of discovery and analysis of that shipwreck site. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, I just love seeing these fantastic creatures, you know, undersea creatures, and they just look like from another world. And to be able to kind of share that moment with the scientists, we're like, whoa, what was that?
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Well, when we do the live mission, certainly we'll have archaeologists, historians, and biologists along because there will be those same creatures, especially if we're looking at a section of seafloor that's, you know, relatively flat and uneventful, and all of a sudden there's a shipwreck. That's habitat often. So there are pluses and minuses to these types of sites environmentally. and there will be some amazing creatures living in those wrecks.
So what's on tap for the future for your office? Do you have any big projects underway? You've just completed the survey now, but what's next?
Well, I'm looking forward to the talk on Thursday with Historic Hawaii Foundation, and that will be given at the Impact Hub in Hawaii. We're also looking at some possible other, you know, deep ocean projects, live dive projects, very possibly with Ocean Exploration Trust and maybe using the vessel Nautilus that will be out here. Our ship, Okeanos Explorer, with our Office of Exploration and Research, has gone back to the Atlantic side. So, you know, it's finished its several years out here in the Pacific, but Nautilus is coming on board and has the capacity for live dive broadcast and discovery. And we hope to work an angle of history and archaeology into all the things that that vessel does.
That was NOAA's maritime archaeologist, Hans van Tilburg. He'll be the featured speaker at a Historic Hawaii Foundation event this Thursday. It runs from 5:30 p.m. to 7 at the Impact Hub at 1050 Queen Street. Registration for the free event is required. For links, check out our website at hawaiipublicradio.org.